Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday, January the 10th. And today we're catching up with our good friend, Fausta Rodriguez-Wirt, the editor of Fausta's blog. We're not going to talk about Latin America tonight. We're going to talk about something else. And that's a big story in the country over the last 48 hours about what happened on television the other night when a bunch of Hollywood performers decided to take it out on President-elect Donald Trump. And it's getting to the point right now where I think these people need to really start thinking a little bit about what they're doing. I don't think that it came across very well. I guess if you hate Donald Trump, it probably did. But for the overwhelming majority of people like me who really just want to be entertained, I don't want to go to a movie or tune in a show like this to have somebody preach to me or tell me that I made a bad decision or whatever, how I voted. That's not what these shows are for. And so we're going to get into that. Fausta is, of course, a big fan of the movies. I've become a big fan of older movies over the last few years because, frankly, I find those movies to be a lot more interesting. And I don't have to put up with all the political correctness that comes with today's Hollywood. So we'll get into that in a quick second. Just to remind you that we have a couple of links on the show information, a couple of our friends. The first one says residential electricity rate. If you're in Texas and most other states, but Texas for sure, if you're in Texas and you're shopping for electricity rates, click on that for your residential electricity rates. If you're shopping for it, just click on that link and put in your zip code and you'll be able to get a quote for your residential electricity rates. And the other link is my friends at audible.com. This is one of my favorite places. You can go there, you can see the inventory they have, all the promotions they have, and maybe you can get into into listening to books, which is really a great option. We're not saying you should stop reading, by no means, but by listening to books, you have a chance of connecting yourself with a lot more books. Let me say hello to Fausta Rodriguez-Wirt, the editor of the very celebrated, and properly so, Fausta's blog. How are you, Fausta?
Oh, thank you, Silvio. Doing very well, thanks.
Your head has not gotten so big that it doesn't fit on your blog now that you were recognized.
Well, there's always some of that.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't see your face this week on your blog, and I thought maybe it was. But of course, we're so proud of you for the great recognition that you've gotten for your wonderful Latin America blog. But tonight, I'm going to take you in a little slightly different direction. We're going to talk about another one of your passions, which is movies and so on. But before we get to that topic, Fausta, I just wanted to remind the audience that I'll have a post about Mexico on Wednesday morning over at the American Thinker. And that post is about what is happening in Mexico. And the point that I'm making, Fausta, is that as much as we may want to enjoy this little thing going on back and forth between President-elect Trump and former President Vicente Fox, who's going to pay for the wall, all this kind of thing. While this is entertaining, and I'm sure you would agree with me, Fausta, that nobody really cares what Vicente Fox thinks either here or down in Mexico. What is happening for sure is that the country is really going through a difficult crisis. Gasoline prices, the Mexican peso, and this is going to, if this gets out of hand, more the peso than the gasoline prices, although they are somewhat related, this is something that could show up at President Trump's desk, meaning we may have to do what we've done in the past, which is to guarantee some Mexico loans. So I always look very seriously at Mexico's economy, Fausta, because whatever happens down there has a habit of showing up on our border, Fausta.
Yes, and I find it interesting that at the same time that car companies, car manufacturers are saying that they're bringing some jobs or back to the U.S. or they're keeping jobs in the U.S., Peña Nieto has come up with this thing of raising gasoline prices at the same time. And the gasoline price issue is very serious. There was a riot, 5 days ago, where
yes,
there were 600 people arrested and two people mm-hmm. died in the middle of it. So it's I don't know what they're thinking, but it doesn't bode well.
No. And I was talking to a good Mexican friend yesterday who was telling me that obviously the left is just, you know, making the most out of this. They feel that this is a great opportunity to set them up for the next presidential election, which is in 2018. As I'm sure you know, Faustin, some of the listeners may know that in 2006, there was a very close election between Calderon and López Obrador. They think that this may be the opportunity. One bit of information I can share is that our friend Alan Wall, who usually goes to Mexico to see his wife's family during the Christmas holidays, he's back in town, and he's going to be joining us next week. I'm not exactly sure what day, but we'll let you know, Fausto, so that you can for sure join us, because he's going to bring back a lot of information, and I'm sure he'll be publishing an article at mexidata.info pretty soon. So serious situation south of the border. I'm not saying it's 1994 all over again or 1982 or whatever, but we do remember what happened in 94 when the peso collapsed dramatically. There was a big flow of people up here, Fausta, and maybe we could handle it back then because we had a stronger economy and at that point, but at this point, I don't think we can handle a couple million people showing up on the border, Fausta.
No, and unfortunately, Mexico has become accustomed to having the U.S. Bail it out of hard spots for many instances. So we'll see how it goes.
We'll see how it goes. We'll get to hear what Alan has to say. Well, let's get to the topic of today. I know that you like old movies, and so do I. They're great movies. But over the last few years, I've become a bigger fan of these movies, and to a large degree, Fausta, because I find these Hollywood actors and actresses to be obnoxious. And what we saw the other night, Meryl Streep was probably the most celebrated one, but there were others who said some pretty stupid things. Is, you know, they're taking it out on Donald Trump. And as I mentioned in my post today at the American Thinker, Fausta, they're entitled to their opinion. I really don't care who Meryl Streep voted for. She's entitled to her vote, her opinion. But I do object to these people using what is, in essence, a show to recognize their talent and their performances and so on, to turn it into a political rally, Fausta. I just think that is stupid. I don't know who's giving these people advice, but it cannot be somebody who wants to make their advertisers happy, Fausta.
Well, that's a lot of it, but to me, there are a lot of things that I don't understand. I mean, I think Meryl Streep is a good actress. I am not particularly crazy about some of the parts that she plays. You know, she was, for instance, she was excellent in Sophie's Choice many years ago. But after that, for a while there, she was playing all these characters where she played a person who spoke with a fake foreign accent, which I found annoying, to be quite truthful.
Right.
But she has been very recognized for a long time by the Oscars and so on. So I think there may be a little bit of a reminder in this Golden Globes Award that she's in front of a welcoming audience saying things that they want to hear. But you look at it, because I don't watch award shows. I love movies. I am very enthusiastic about movies. I am becoming even more enthusiastic about miniseries. Maybe we should talk about that too. But, you know, she's given a Lifetime Achievement Award, and she turns it, the acceptance speech, into a political speech. Why? I mean, I can't figure out why. I really don't care about her politics. I don't watch the award shows, but after, you know, when you said we were talking about this I had to watch her speech, and she said that if it weren't for all these foreign actors or whatever, and all of these wonderful movies that, of course, she's in and Hollywood produces, we would be stuck with watching football and mixed martial arts. Excuse me.
Right.
There are more things to life than what Meryl Streep thinks I'm spending my time on. And I had to actually Google mixed martial arts because I didn't even know what the heck it was. And as you know, I'm not
a
football
fan.
You know, so.
Well, I am. And on Sunday night, I was watching the Packers and the Giants, not Meryl Streep. But, you know, that was my choice. I made that decision before her speech. I mean, that's just me. I mean, you know, but I thought that was a better use of my time. But you know, I'm sure you remember, Fausta, going back, I guess to the late 80s, is when this sort of became an annual event. That is the politicization of these events. It sort of all started, I think the Grammys is where it began. With the American Grammys, I think Golden Globe is more international, right? Maybe you can explain that to me because I'm not really sure what it is. But it's more international, right? Whereas the Grammys is more American movies, right? Or at least it happens
in Hollywood.
Grammys are
music. Golden Globes are foreign press.
Okay.
And Oscars are Academy of Motion Picture.
There you go. I confused, just to show you, I was watching too much of the Packers game. I confused the Oscar with the Grammys. You're right. It's Oscars. But you see, in the late 80s, I really got turned off because it seemed like every person who would get up to give a presentation or to accept a presentation or to introduce a presentation would have to take it out on President Reagan. And then the next one was the first Bush. Then the next Bush really got it from these people. And I just got to a point where, and I think a lot of people did too, I didn't want to watch this garbage. I mean, not garbage. I mean, what they're making and the movies and all of that, I give them credit for that, for their talent. I just didn't want to watch all the political thing. And I thought for a while there that these people had gotten the Riot Act or someone had read the Riot Act to them, that the advertisers aren't crazy about this. But it went really nutty on Sunday night. And they're entitled to their point of view, but why don't they just go to a political rally and say these things? I mean, why don't they, you know, sell some tickets at a political rally to, honor Hillary Clinton and say these things, Fausta?
Well, a lot of it is because it's self-serving and they think, I mean, you and I have met many people who think that their opinion should be imposed on everybody else, whether they want to hear it or not, regardless of the fact that there is such a thing as the TV remote and switching off the channel, the TV set altogether. But the first time I remembered, and this I remember clearly because I was very young, I was with some friends watching the Oscars when Marlon Brando was awarded the Oscar, and he sent this lady who was Native American in full garb to give a speech for the Native Americans, and she got booed. But that's the first time I remember somebody making a political statement during an award show. To this day, I cannot figure out what the heck she had to do with the Oscars or why was Marlon Brando what seemed like a very nice lady into this very difficult position rather than having the guts to go out and do it himself. But, you know, that's just me. So, So there's the politicization
gone
on for a long time. By the way, if I want to watch a political movie, I find out ahead of time whether it's a political movie or not, and I watch it. I mean, I have watched some excellent political movies, even when I don't agree necessarily with a point of view over the years. And that's a completely voluntary effort. I am not, however, finding any value into these self-congratulatory shows, which essentially that's what the award shows are.
Mm-hmm.
That are used for anybody's political statement. And by the way, I would be as irritated by any political point of view of any kind, whether it was pro or against anything I stand for. So, I mean, it's like, I didn't watch it. I was watching Sherlock on PBS, and I got irritated at Sherlock, too, but that's just me.
Yeah. Well, you're just an easy person to irritate, Klaus. So maybe that's.
Well,
hey,
there's
what
a long story
to
Sherlock,
what
which relates.
To Sherlock?
There's a long story on Sherlock. It relates to this podcast subject. When I was growing up,
Why don't you fill us in? Sure. Now, let me just for my understanding, Sherlock is not about the famous detective, right? Or is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. All right. And it's a new series. I take it on PBS.
Yes. So.
Okay. All right. Now that I've got the context, go right ahead.
When I was a little kid in Puerto Rico, they used to play the old Basil Rathbone Sherlock Holmes movies late in the afternoon, and I would watch them. You know, then I got older and I started reading all the Sherlock Holmes novels, and then I watched more Sherlock Holmes movies with Christopher Lee and, you know, all that kind of thing. And there was one with Michael Caine, one with Christopher Plummer, and on and on. And then there was this new series with Benedict Cumberbatch, who is a very good British actor of the younger generation. And the series started 4 years ago, and it has become progressively weirder to the point that they're now in the fourth season, the second episode. And it was so weird. I mean, they fell off the cliff and jumped the shark at the same time. So I don't think I'm going to be watching again, at least this version. But so I didn't know what the Golden Globes, I didn't even know they were on. But
yeah. Well,
even when you
I knew
look
they were
at
on.
It,
I knew they were on because I knew they were on because I was looking at the TV guide, or not the TV guide, but on the screen when they were, you know, talking about the programs that day, and you know, I was trying to find out what I was trying to confirm whether the Packers and the Giants were on the regular Fox channel, and that's when I saw that the Golden Globe was on that night.
Okay.
I think on NBC or something like that, but one thing,
with Sherlock Holmes, the versions of Sherlock Holmes over the years have changed depending on the circumstances. Basil Rathbone started in the series as a traditional Sherlock Holmes stories, and then they were converted into World War II under the German Blitz in England. And he solved some cases, you know, Basil Rathbone and Sherlock Holmes solved some cases involving Nazi spies in England.
Well, I have to tell you that I'm a huge fan also of the old, I guess it would be the first series of movies. I remember seeing them like you when I was younger, and recently we have a channel here in Dallas that on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, they always have one of those older movies. And one day I was sick and didn't go to church, so I got to watch it. But those are actually great. I mean, those older shows are absolutely great because I think they stick a lot to the books, which I remember reading when I was younger. And then also in college, we read a couple of them. But the one thing about, my fear of watching something about Sherlock Holmes these days would be that Prince Charles would make a guest appearance talking about climate change, or something like that. So something like that happening. And one of the reasons that I find these older movies so entertaining and so good, by the way, you're exactly right. If I know ahead of time that the movie is going to be about the Spanish Civil War, for example, this happened to me about a year ago in one of these old retro channels. They were running a movie from 1964 about the Spanish Civil War, and it had to do with someone who had fought against Franco, who snuck back into the country to see his mom, who was sick. So that was kind of the story, and I can't think of the title right now, but I'll send you a little thing about it so that maybe you can watch it, or maybe you've seen it already. So I knew ahead of time that movie was going to be about the Civil War in Spain, and I expected the movie to show either one side or the other, which is what always happens in Civil War movies. But I knew that ahead of time. Okay, I mean I didn't have to, I knew it ahead of time, or whatever other story. But I just think that, you know, the beautiful thing for me, I love, you know, the Errol Flynn movies like Captain Blood, and particularly that one. I just love that one. And it's like you watch these movies. I don't know what political corner Errol Flynn came from, whether he was a left or right or Republican, Democrat, but it didn't matter because the movie didn't bring it. You know, you didn't have to deal with that, or Humphrey Bogart. You know, maybe these guys were to the left. I don't know. I really don't know, and I really don't care because I was being entertained by their movies. But even today, when you go to the movies, this climate change thing, they're always throwing that at you. I mean, they throw it at you indirectly. You know, and this is something that Hollywood keeps doing, and then they wonder why they're not selling movies, Fausta.
That's right. Exactly. Now, there was a political series that was a huge success in, and this is one of the things that I have watched recently. It was a huge success in Israel. It is in Hebrew and Arabic. It is called Fauda, F-A-U-D-A. I watched that. I highly recommend it. It's a political setting. It's going on now. But you know what you're buying into. I mean, you know that these are the issues it's going to be dealing with. That's a big difference between that and then, you know, having, I don't know, Brad Pitt and Robert Redford, for instance. They actually did a spy movie together. And I don't even remember what the plot was, but, you know, having two actors that are well-known in a plot that is about, I don't know, diamond smuggling or something, and all of a sudden you're talking about climate change. I don't want to hear about climate change.
No, not in a movie. I mean, if you want to watch a seminar on climate change, fine. You choose
exactly.
to do that. But not in a movie, and certainly not in that kind of a show. Now, I mentioned in my post today that it would have been taken a little bit better if they had actually also taken shots at President Obama. I mean, what makes political humor fun is when both sides get attacked. You know, when this is one of the things Johnny Carson did better than anybody. You know, he would take shots at everybody on his monologue. But these guys, I mean, they do the whole night, all the attacks were direct or indirectly about Donald Trump. And as I think I said a few weeks ago, Faust, in one of these shows, that these people are making me love Donald Trump. I started out, as you know, as not really being on the Trump side. I never really – I was not crazy about him winning the nomination. But now the way the left is reacting, it's like I'm becoming more of a Trump fan, not so much because I love Trump, but because I hate these people. They're obnoxious, Fausta.
And that's another thing. The left believes that they own the media, probably for good reason. I mean, they have a great deal of influence, and they have a lot of people who are leftists, who are producers and movie stars and so on, are very visible in the public eye, and also celebrities are not necessarily actors or known for anything other than being celebrities or leftists. But, I mean, look at the irony. You got a woman who is world famous. She makes factually millions of dollars for every movie. She's wearing a dress that probably costs more than what the average person makes in a year, a dress that it has had to be at least $10,000, if not more. And she's standing in front of everybody saying that she's lost her voice, and then she talks for another 15 minutes. I mean, does this make any sense to you? Because it doesn't make
sense. No, it doesn't make any sense to me. And what makes even less sense, Fausta, is that if you go back to the 1980s, this was the same crap they were saying about Reagan, that they were going to take away your rights, that they were going to put people in jail for what they believed. And here we are 30 years later, these people, instead of being in jail, they're actually making a lot of money and doing quite well. And so after a while, this message, just you get tired of it, because you're saying these people are not just liberals, they're stupid. I mean, it's one thing. It would be like, you know, and to be honest, sometimes people on our side have engaged in, you know, crazy attacks against, you know, Obama or whatever. And I've always, you know, I said at the beginning of the Obama administration that I disliked Bush derangement syndrome, and I wasn't going to engage in Obama derangement syndrome. In other words, there's lots of space in the middle to criticize and do politics without going to the personal attacks of, you know, Bush is Hitler and Obama is this or whatever. But what irritates me more than anything else is the fact that when you really dissect what they're saying, it, like you're saying, Fauci, it just makes no sense. Absolutely no sense. Nobody's taking their freedoms away. You know, in a real, and you and I have, you know, we follow Latin America, so we know what oppression is. In a real oppressive country, Fausta, the army would have shown up and locked up all these people. They would have thrown them in jail. That's what they would have done if in fact, things are as bad as she thinks they are. So one good note, one happy note or good news is that she seems to be getting a lot of criticism. I think this fellow Morgan, he used to be on CNN, has been very critical of her. In fact, I saw a post that he wrote in one of the British newspapers being very critical of her, and others have been critical of her too. So maybe she didn't really score as many points as she thought she did, Fausta.
Yeah, and that's another thing. It's there's a lot of an echo chamber. Some of it is beginning to backfire. For instance, today Jeff Sessions had his hearing and his confirmation hearing, and I think somebody from Think Progress or something like that tweeted, because Jeff Sessions was holding his granddaughter on his lap, which many, many times the politicians or the people who are in the middle of the confirmation hearings bring their families. So this is not the first time that anybody has done it. I mean, there's actually a picture of John Kerry holding his granddaughter when he was being confirmed as Secretary of State. And this guy tweeted, Senator Sessions, you can now return that Asian baby to the Toys R Us where you found her.
Right.
Not knowing that this is his actual granddaughter.
Right.
And that Jeff Sessions' daughter married a gentleman who's of Asian ancestry.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it is an obnoxious and very vulgar comment that is also racist, mm-hmm. that is also completely inappropriate. And somebody like that thinks nothing of it. Luckily,
right.
Jake Tapper tweeted right away telling him that maybe he should cancel his Twitter account after making a comment as rude as that.
Right. Yeah, I saw that. I saw that during the course of the day. And you're right. I mean, this is outrageous. I mean, just flip the channels, as I like to say. Imagine somebody writing something like that about one of the Obama girls or Eric Holder's grandchildren or whatever. There'd be all kinds of outrage. But this is the thing that also bothers me about these people, and you were talking about it, the hypocrisy. She's got a very expensive dress. She's talking to a bunch of people who are probably spent thousands of dollars on their dresses. And by the way, I don't care about that. It's their money. They can do whatever they want. But please don't preach. Don't do that and then preach equality and we're protecting the little people. Come on. I mean, this is where, you know, at least I look at it and I flip the channel, Fausta, and I say, you know what? I hope enough of us flip that channel so that the advertisers begin to notice. I do know for a fact, and this is my last thought, and I do want to ask you about something else, from Columbia that you posted recently today. But let me just say one last thing about all of this. I do know for a fact that in the 1990s, maybe even later, that the Academy, the Oscar Academy, went out and pretty much, you know, read the riot act to some of these people and say, we're not doing politics anymore. And it was coming from the advertisers, Fausto, that, you know, the advertisers don't like, you know, they're in the business of selling a product, so they don't want to be involved in the middle of a political food fight. That's not what they want, where they want their products to be marketed, Fausto.
I hope so. I mean, meanwhile, the fashion industry, the jewelry, I mean, a lot of these gowns are borrowed. Sometimes the actors buy them. Sometimes the studios buy them for them. But I know for a fact that jewelry stores like Harry Winston and so on lend diamond earrings and necklaces that are worth millions of dollars. They some of the actresses have assigned bodyguards exactly for the only purpose of guarding the jewelry. So
right.
Let's not get too carried away about actors talking for the little people. You know
right.
who actually does something useful, who is a very successful actor? Gary Sinise. Gary Sinise has a foundation that helps wounded veterans, and he really does good work. He's somebody that I admire greatly. I have never heard him speak publicly because I've only seen him, you know, like in movies and the TV show that he had and that kind of thing. But, you know, if I wanted to hear Gary Sinise speak about politics, then I would search for him speaking about politics. In the meantime, he's
exactly.
doing good work for his foundation.
Right, and he's not going around he's not going around boasting about it. I mean, he does it, and that's it. But we're going to take a little break, and then when I come back, guys, let's just do a quick segment on your story about Colombia today. But when you talked about these people having bodyguards, it reminded me of one time we were watching a Miss USA or Miss Universe when I was a teenager living at home with my parents, and this woman came out with all kinds of jewelry, you know, hanging all over. And my mother looked at the television and said, "This looks like a joyería ambulante." and it's like, you know, joyería ambulante. That's what she was calling this woman who was, you know, marching around with all of these jewels. You know, it seemed like there was a piece of jewelry in every part of her body, her hair. I mean, everywhere there was a piece of jewelry. Let's take a little break, Fausta. When we come back, I want to do a quick segment on that story that you ran on Colombia. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Just a quick update. We'll be talking to Alan Wall next week. We'll be talking about his trip to Mexico. We'll be talking about Mexico and what's going on down there. Also, we got a couple of minutes, and if you could tell us the story that you have in your blog today, it's your Lee story, about the parting that won't happen in Colombia. If you could just take a minute and talk about that.
Yes, one of the leaders of the FARC, whose real name is Ricardo Palmera, he goes by the alias of Simon Trinidad. He's serving a 60-year sentence at a very high security jail in the United States because he killed point blank an American Vietnam veteran named Thomas Janis. And he also, at that time, kidnapped and tortured three Americans. And he also killed a Colombian who was with the security forces in Colombia. For many years, for at least 4 years, Juan Manuel Santos, the current president, has been asking Washington to release him because it would appease the FARC. And Santos believed that it would enhance the possibility of the FARC agreeing to the terms of the Colombian government. As it turned out, as you know, the Colombian government gave the FARC everything they were asking for. So there was a rumor that President Obama may pardon Trinidad before leaving office. There is now a report from Colombia newspaper El Tiempo reporting that there will be no presidential pardon, and the newspaper named Julián Villabona Galarza says although Obama has the legal authority to grant the pardon to pardon Trinidad, due to his special executive powers in the American legal system, he will not exercise his powers on this occasion. I'm sorry, the reporter in Colombia is Sergio Gomez Maceri of El Tiempo, who is the Washington correspondent, and apparently Gomez Maceri had first-hand information from a reliable government in the United States, a reliable U.S. government source. So that at least is good news. On the other hand, President Francois Hollande of France is coming to Colombia to visit the FARC between January 22nd and 24, and he's going to be visiting the FARC at the demobilization site in the Cauca province. Now, Álvaro Uribe tweeted, Hollande, the president of France, who cannot control jihadist terrorism, will visit Colombia, Colombia handed over to the FARC. The bad thing about this visit is this is one more step towards legitimizing the FARC as a political power in Colombia. So on the one hand, there's good news that Trinidad is not going to be set free. On the other hand, there is bad news that Hollande is lending himself to this. I think it's shameful.
Right. It really is, and I'm with you. I agree with your analysis. Completely good news and bad news. Well, Fausta, as always, thank you for your time. A little different topic tonight, but I really wanted to get your opinion on this. And next week, as I said, we'll talk about Latin America. And very, very sure that we'll have Alan Wald with us to talk about what is happening down in Mexico, which is pretty pretty interesting, to say the least. But good night, Fausta. Thank you for your time.
Good night, Silvio. And I'm looking forward to talking to Alan Wall again. He's a great guest.
He really is. He's absolutely wonderful. Well, have a good week, and we'll talk to you later, Fausta. Good night.
Thanks, Silvio.
Thank you very much. Fausta Rodriguez-Wirtz, the editor of Fausta's Blog. Well, that's going to do it. We talked a little bit about Hollywood. Wanted to get Fausta's perspective on that. She blogs a great deal about a lot of other things, not just Latin America, and that's why I thought she would be an interesting person to talk about this. And as you can see, she was extremely interesting as well. Good night, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.